I couldn't help but smile and kind of laugh as I was coming up here. Jolie does not get nervous for me that much anymore before I get ready to speak. And she was nervous for me tonight, and I think it's because there's such a large group here, the largest group I've spoken to. And it reminded me of one of the first times I ever spoke, and she was much more nervous than she is now. And I was nervous myself. My heart was beating out of my chest. And right before I got ready to get up, I was raising up off the seat. She touched my knee, and I went back down, and I go, "What?" And she goes, "Is your fly zipped?" And I panicked. I looked down. I'm like, "Yes." So I got up, and I was kind of laughing to myself that whole beginning of my first sermon. Totally took away my stress, and I felt much better. So I thank her for that, because that's kind of what it's done for me tonight. I wish Joe wouldn't have taken my advice and said I was awesome. That was a joke. So I hope you get what you paid for tonight. I want to thank everyone here, first of all, for... Here we go. Now it's working. I want to thank everyone here, first of all, for the warmness that Jolie and I have had since we have been attending here. I think it would be much harder for me to get up in front of a group that I've never spoken to before if you all hadn't made Jolie and I feel like part of a family. And that's what we feel like. We feel like we're part of a team with you. And so when I speak, I feel you rooting for me. And I hope I'm right in that, you know, and I hope that's the case. Makes it much easier for me. Tonight, I wanted to speak on something I like to call modern evangelism. And it's interesting. We're at a time in our lives where we're more connected, right, than any other time in human history. We've got cell phones, Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, LinkedIn. We've got everything you can possibly imagine to be connected to each other, and we're more connected than we've ever been in human history, right? Thank you. And with that being said, I like to consider myself a young person. The college students probably wouldn't agree, but I grew up during the technology age, and I see that we're more connected than we've ever been, but we're less connected than we've ever been. Jolie and I were at IHOP yesterday, and we saw this mother and daughter, and they had just sit down to eat. They had just ordered, and I said, "Jolie, you got to see this over here." And this mother and daughter, and I didn't notice it at first, as soon as they ordered, they whipped out their cell phones, and they didn't say a word to each other. They just started talking on their cell phones. So I see myself being of the technology age, that modern evangelism isn't really so modern after all. The most effective way to evangelize is old school. And I don't mean old school, you know, 20, 30, 50 years ago. I mean old school 2,000 years ago. And the same principles that worked then work now, and we're going to take a look at a few of those principles. One thing that that we're required to do that they did back then was to be vocal in evangelizing. I want to invite you to open your Bible to Romans chapter 10. We're going to look at a couple of verses there here in just a moment. And I think you're going to see that a cowardly church culture has given us this notion that to evangelize is to be an example or to do good deeds for other people. That's kind of the idea. If you want to evangelize to someone, then give somebody who needs money some money, mow their lawn, be good to them, or let your light shine before men. But that's what evangelism is. Let's take a look here at Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 18. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the world, their words to the ends of the world. Consequently, faith comes from hearing. If you see that people hear you whenever you are mowing someone's lawn for them, say, I. Okay, and I actually meant that in a very literal sense. So they don't actually hear you saying anything to them. And in a non-literal way, you can absolutely hear someone letting your light shine. But they're not going to hear you by that example. And so what happens, what has happened, is good deeds have become antithetical to evangelizing. Because if you think you're doing good deeds and that's enough, then you won't talk to other people about Christ, when clearly here, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. We have to proclaim Christ to other people, which in the Greek, whenever the Bible is describing someone who is an evangelizer, they are someone who vocally proclaims the word of Christ. And I thought about that, you know, how they're completely different things, how we're required to do both. We're required to do good deeds, and we are all required to evangelize. And it kind of pricked my heart a little bit. The reason for that is because I don't do enough of it. And so coming to this realization that I can do good deeds all the time, but I'm not doing something God has commanded of me, it pricked my heart. It's something that I know that I do very little of for myself. We have to be vocal in evangelizing. The next thing I want to talk to you all about is remaining you whenever you evangelize. There is a certain empowerment in knowing that you can be yourself when you evangelize. And rather than just make that a phrase, I'll explain what I mean. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 is the text we'll be reading from. To be able to remain yourself and not be something you are not, like not try to become this preacher or somebody who's a Bible scholar, just to be able to be who you are and approach someone from wherever you are, that's very empowering. Not only is it empowering, but it shows Christ through you. Isn't that cool? You're not going to have all the answers. You're not going to be able to do everything perfectly whenever you talk to someone, and that's okay, because Scripture tells us that that is allowing God to shine and not you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this, one of you says, I follow Paul, another, I follow Apollos, another, I follow Cephas, still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized into the name of Paul? I am thankful that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so no one can say that you were baptized into my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. At the very end there, I'm reading that out of the NIV. I don't know what version of the Bible you have. Other versions say that Paul did not speak with eloquent words, lest some people think it's Paul talking and not Christ who's doing the talking. This is Paul we're talking about. And he says, I don't speak with eloquent words. You're okay not to speak with eloquent words. Paul didn't speak with eloquent words. We have to be able to remain who we are. And that's very empowering. You know, Satan uses that against us. He says to us, you know, you really don't know the Bible that well. You don't know what you're going to say. You don't have the scriptures down. What are you going to say to someone else? You got to have it all figured out in your mind and be internal and know what you're going to say. No. Let God have the glory for you evangelizing to other people. Diane and Jeff Ziegler, they're working with our college group, and they're invaluable in our group. And I talked to Diane today about a story that she saw a girl in the cafeteria at school whenever she was in college, and she was a new Christian at that time. And from her words, I understand she really didn't know the Bible that well at that time. But she sat down with this girl, and she started telling her about the group she was a part of, and she said, you know what, let me just show you my notes that I have here, the things that we've been doing. So this girl started talking to her. They developed a dialogue. They started studying together, I think, once a week. And now she is a Christian because of Diane and has been living a faithful Christian life. Diane herself had someone come to her and just say, hey, I'd like to share with you a little bit about God. And Diane had been seeking that. And Diane became a Christian because of her friend. It is empowering to know that Christians, wherever you are right now in your life, don't let Satan tell you that you can't evangelize. That's absolutely false. That is a lie. Any of you can evangelize and tell others about Christ and let Him shine through you. Finally, I want to make the point that whenever you evangelize to others, that you need to approach without prejudice. Now, what do I mean? Do you look through a crowd and you see people of other races and you're not sure if you'll be able to mingle with them or talk to them? No, that's not what I mean when I talk about approaching with prejudice. If you will, look at Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. So many times whenever we want to talk to other people, we think about evangelism and we pray to God and we say to Him, God, please open doors so that I can evangelize to other people. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. What happens for me whenever I say that is I start looking for doors, so to speak, and I don't just start talking to people. I look specifically for doors. So my prayer has changed to, God, please open hearts, and then I'm going to approach without prejudice, and I'm just going to evangelize to everyone. Let's look at Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 31. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. What I really find interesting about this story, and we've heard it many, many times, is the explanation of who the Ethiopian eunuch is. An important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This was a guy that very obviously was politically connected. This was a guy who was most likely very wealthy, being in charge of all of this money. This was a guy of high standing. He would have to be, right, to be in this position that he's in. This is a guy who obviously had a lot of mental horsepower to get in that position, and yet this is a guy that Philip said to, "Do you understand what it is that you are reading?" Now I will say Philip had the guidance of God in this case. But I feel like a lot of the time we look at people and we think, yeah, he doesn't want God. He doesn't want me to mess with talking to him about that. Yeah, she's got it all together. I don't think that would be a good idea. When I look in my own heart, what I'm really doing is I'm saving myself from failure. Approach without prejudice. Ask God to open hearts and approach these people. And you know, Matthew tells us that the harvest is plentiful, and God just needs workers to go out and plant the seed, and that Christ is the Lord of the harvest. That Christ is the Lord of the harvest. This is another very, very empowering thing about evangelism. Don't worry about failure when you go to talk to someone, because your job is not to be the converter. Your job is not to be the converter. Your job as a Christian is to plant the seed. That's very empowering. What job can I go out and work my tail off but get nobody to buy whatever it is that I am trying to sell and come home at the end of the day and that was a great day? We don't have to be worried about failure. You want to continue to learn and to grow and be able to approach people in a better way, but it's not our job to give the increase. It's just our job to sow the seed. Such an empowering thing. That's another thing Satan tries to hit us with, that we will fail or we have failed. Josh Buford is in our group, and he is not here tonight, so I won't say anything negative about him, because I would only do that if he was around. But Josh, and I did ask him if I could use him as an example. Josh has brought four people with him since we started this college ministry so many months ago. And I asked Josh to give a lesson on evangelism in our class. And I wanted to know, you know, what the secret sauce was, you know, what he's doing so that everybody would be able to do this. And about halfway through his lesson, he said something that really stuck with me. He said that there is not a single person in my office that does not know about this college ministry. He said, "I love telling people about this college ministry, and I just say, hey, come to church with me, come to this college ministry." That's your answer, right there. I don't know how many people are in his office. Is there 30 people that he asked? I don't see those other 26 that aren't here. I see the four that have come to and been a part of this ministry, and that's because Josh has figured something out that we are to approach others without prejudice. I hope that this is found as empowering. I hope, number one, that there's a fire lit under us, because good deeds don't do it. This is something we're commanded to do as followers of Christ. And I hope this is also empowering to show you that forget what Satan whispers in your ear. anybody can do this. I kind of, after I got through with this lesson, I made it a point that, okay, who can I invite with me to church? I can't ask somebody to do something that I don't do. Tomorrow, I have two people that I'm going to be inviting to services. And I just keep these same principles in mind, these biblical principles, these things that God tells us, and they're empowering to me. You know, I don't have to worry about failure. It doesn't matter who the person is. I just go up to them and ask them, I want to challenge each and every one of you here. Don't worry about it. Just do it. Do it tomorrow. Start this journey of evangelism tomorrow. Let's grow this church. If you know of anyone who's in college, who is college age, that maybe, no, I'm not even going to qualify that. If you know anybody who's college age, invite them to become a part of our college ministry here. Romans 1, 5, and 6 says, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of His name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. I'm going to read this again. This is a battle cry. We, meaning you and I, have received grace. First of all, grace. How amazing is grace? We have received this and apostleship. Two, what's the reason for those things? To bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of His name among all nations, among everyone. That's awesome. That's what we're called to do as Christians. If you're not a Christian and you wonder, why? How can I be this? How can I do this? It's really simple. In the New Testament, there's just a few things that the Bible says, do this and you'll be saved. He talks about believing in Christ, and you'll be saved. He talks about repenting, which is just a fancy church word for decide that you're going to make a change and live for Christ, and you'll be saved. He talks about confession, which is confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and you'll be saved. He says, be baptized, and you will be saved. And another thing He says about baptism is it is for the remission of our sins. If there's anyone here who would like to know more about that, or maybe whether it's about evangelism or anything else, you've just fallen short as a Christian. Happens to all of us. And you would like prayers of this church, or if you have any other needs, please come forward while we stand and sing.